Blog Talk Radio.
Tell my baby, make it hot. Ride the cop till you hit the spot. Tell my baby, make it hot.
Doing the doggy style. Wow, 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 yippee-yo, yippee-yay, bow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yo. Wow, 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 yippee-yo, yippee-yay, bow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yo.
And welcome. Here we are again. Welcome to Naked Soma. Dr. Mark is strolling along slowly. He should be here shortly. And we'll get going tonight. We have E.J. Wensing on the show tonight. And it should be a good interview. If you go to ecosphere.net, ecosphere.net, you can read up a little bit about him. His company is a growing global network of people working together to develop education for sustainability. And he's got some good stuff. He's going to talk to us about cross-cultural stuff, action research, so on. His book is called I Am Sustainability, and it's basically a somatic manifesto, and he describes a new definition of self that is enmeshed with its surroundings and is responsible for its continued growth and development. So this is going to be a good one, and one right up Dr. Mark's somatic hiney. And hold on 1 second. I have got people chiming in here already. Uh-huh. All right. How about that election, people? That was something. Still kind of taken aback by it. And here comes the eco. Hello.
Hello.
You missed the theme, you know.
I'm singing it in the car. Does that count?
Yeah, it does count. What'd you get? Anything good?
Just had hit the snack machine on Palmer Avenue. Got a little brisk iced tea because my deli eco's closed early.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, they leave at 5 to 9 sometimes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Looking for the door.
Must be nice.
No, actually.
Mm-hmm. Nice for them.
Mm-hmm. They don't have a radio show at 9 o'clock that nobody listens to.
That's right. I just filled the listeners in on who we were having on the show tonight.
All right, then.
And I was trying to get Gina to call in, but, of course, she's at work and in a meeting and yada, yada, yada. So
yeah, Gina's got the research. I know. She's working on it.
You know.
Did they break down the vote as far as the lesbian homosexual vote?
I'd
imagine.
Don't know. Let me see if I can find something.
From the looks of the celebrating in the East Village, it went pretty well.
Let's see.
Because, you know, they shot down the gay marriage thing in California.
Yes. And also gay adoption in two other places. Let me see. Dem, gay, lesbian vote is a split. Let's see. What is this? No, that's old. Queers United urge you to vote for Obama. Another angry lesbian for Obama. Oh, come on with these websites.
Another angry lesbian?
That's what it says.
I mean, someone else beat it to angry lesbian.
They passed Prop 8? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they passed it. The way they worded it, I swear to God, you would need to be some kind of strange, like Scrabble expert to figure out what, like the one they had for... on the New York ballot about the troops. Are you for the expulsion of the extinction of the... It's just, you know, they get you with... It should be just like, basically, for again, you know? Like Flintstone that for me, will you? I'm writing signed salad and delivered. That's good.
Oh, gosh. And Gina's chiming in. She's listening to us, so give her a shout out.
Yeah. Gina, what's the research?
You're such an ass.
Take the envelope.
Ugh, I'm just getting some feedback from the blog thing saying that my blog is locked because it looks like spam. How does it look like spam?
Spam, spam, spammity spam?
Please. What the... All right. I don't know why it thinks it's spam. I thought spam was like something that gets into your email.
No. It's a, you know, mixture of meat products. Let me go out here for a second.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think it's going to be the,
remember the Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow thing with the Clintons?
Oh, yes.
I think
I
this might
like
be.
I that song.
Yeah, they kind of beat that to death.
Yeah.
I think they might be wheeling out the Motown for Obama on the inaugural thing. It's
gotta
safe,
love
you know.
That.
Well, they can't go in with, like, Kanye West.
That's right.
Yeah, a little P. Diddy.
Ugh.
Bad Boys for Life. Yeah, maybe a little. We get a little, you know, N.W.A. to go into the White House.
Sure.
Hello.
Sure. Why not?
Oh, you definitely got to have Snoop at the inaugural.
Well, Snoop is a must.
Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot.
Listen, you people out there in Radioland have seen nothing. Until you've seen Dr. Mark dance to the Snoop, because I have seen it.
I was dancing to Minnie the Moocher last night.
Oh, but I didn't get to see that.
And then Proud Mary off the air.
Nice.
I was getting my Snoopy dance on to Proud Mary.
Oh, I don't know. You know, I am so burnt out from being up late last night doing this. I don't know how I'm functioning.
Functioning?
Yeah,
I've been doing the conjunction function all day long.
No, you're. But see, that's the norm for you. It's not the norm
for
me.
No, yeah, the norm. The Norm Coleman for me.
That's right. Gina's trying to call in, and it's saying it's busy.
What's busy?
The blog talk line.
Blog talk line's busy?
Uh-huh.
I got in.
Yes, you did.
Maybe that's why. Try it again.
She's trying. Keeping an eye out over here. So tired.
That's tomorrow. And that is it for us today. Okay, I don't know. Whatever it is, it's not right on the teleprompter. I don't know what that is. I've never seen that.
There you go. Oh, there she is.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
Gina.
Oh, yeah.
Gina, what's with the fact.
What's going on, guys?
Thanks
for
bringing
me out, Dr. Mark. Very kind.
That's right.
Sorry,
guys. I'll digress you.
My work is killing me. Sorry.
Oh, well,
yeah,
I'll digress you.
I can do that.
Yes. So
talk to us,
guys.
Gina. Talk to us. Talk to us about the election.
Talk to us. I think we should have a celebration. That's what I think.
A party?
Yeah.
So what's that?
A party?
A party,
yes.
Indeed.
Yes.
Indeed.
My
I
student
did have a
yeah, Jenny, Candy Mary, Janelle, Sweets, and Joy, and Joyness.
Please stop bouncing on.
Do you ever have a part two to that? I just found out recently, but I
guess.
Yes. I did have a party last night. Actually, my good friend Stephanie, who's here with me, made red and blue cupcakes.
Nice.
There you go.
I ate all the blue ones.
Across this country, this is the agenda I have set before my fellow prisoners. And the same standards of clarity and candor must now be applied to my opponent.
Oh,
there you go.
Wait, play the other one.
Which one?
Wait, I got it.
Credit crunch.
That's right, credit crunch.
Oh, man. Where were you in the city when the vote came down at 11 o'clock?
My office in Midtown.
Could you hear stuff down the street?
down the street. Well, first of all, my office I thought was being taken over by wild animals. And then, yeah, if I just looked outside, it was ridiculous. And even on the way home in Queens, everyone was just crazy everywhere.
Mm.
It was like New Year's Eve.
It's a good time,
yeah,
baby.
Once Ohio went and you knew that McCain couldn't win, it was like waiting for the big Oprah head to drop at 11 o'clock.
We waited until we saw CNN. And then as soon as the Oprah cry, we knew it was done.
Yeah. Oprah was not like, she wasn't looking for the camera last night. She was a little bit taken aback.
She was really taken back, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now she's got the wheel. I mean, now it's like, I don't keep doing my show.
She has the wheel of the universe already.
Yeah.
She pretty much dictates everything, but, you know, it's fine.
Last night the top came down in the convertible. she's got that long Oprah head hair flowing now.
Oh yeah, she's gonna be on 30 Rock. I'm pretty excited about that.
All right, what's the hang time? You got to pick a date in 2010 that we're all sick of Michelle Obama.
I'm sick of her now.
when does the country turn on her and have like dartboards for the woman?
For her, not for Obama, just for her.
Just for her.
Just
no, she's gonna be just like Bill's first term. The Budinsky, she's going to be sitting there, and it's going to be just like when we sat there, and I'm going to turn over health care to my battle ex-wife.
Well, she does have more choices.
I think she's got the Felicia Rashad, you know, effect right now. She's the Claire Huxtable, and I think that might last for a little while.
Yeah, I just, it was like, you know, even this morning, my daughter went, wow, look who wears the pants in that family.
Yeah,
you know?
Bet. It's a good
and
way to
they, all, they were all dressed like Christmas morning, and my friends were saying the same thing last night. But look, it was Christmas.
I mean, come on.
I guess it was to them. They're getting a dog for the White House. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. What are the first barbecue in the White House?
That's right.
Yeah. And we have some crunk juice going on.
Are we invited?
I think so. They're going to be all freaks allowed.
Yay. Hey, why not?
Well,
he's got
you
guys
are
in there with him. Yeah.
Well, now it's going to be Misfit Adventures. We're going to have, everyone. There's a picture, actually. I put in an email last night of these. It was like an eco jury duty meeting outside the White House last night.
That's
at
great.
Around midnight. Oh, it's hilarious. But you're going to get all of them now. You're going to get the stem cell guys. You're going to get the in vitro guys, Martian advocates. The vampire party will show up. They're all going to want a piece of, you know, piece of the
what's
pie
that?
Here.
What
did you guys
domain?
Hear the, what? Go ahead.
What domain is Rahm Emanuel?
I haven't looked him up yet.
Well, we
I think
need to
I think
that.
He's I think from what I heard of him, he sounds like one of those low flying autos.
I'm going to send you a picture right now. Go ahead, G. What were you saying?
All right, go ahead.
Did you guys hear the Palin prank call?
The what?
The Palin prank call.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
I didn't hear it.
Oh, it's hilarious.
You didn't
what,
hear it?
You didn't
no.
hear that? What, oh,
oh,
my
God.
God. Oh, we got to find it. Go on YouTube quick.
I'm going to send that to you immediately.
All right.
No, go on YouTube and find that right now.
Is she
I just sent you a picture.
Is these two DJs from Montreal. They
oh, you know
to be
what?
The,
I did see that, I think.
They pretended to be the French guy, and
yeah,
they had her
yeah,
going
I saw
there.
That. I did
But
see
she didn't
that.
Want to, even after she found out, she didn't want to hang up.
Yeah, she
was
like, "Oh, I was
pranked.
Don't you know?"
Yeah. Oh, I'm like punked. It was Ashton Kutcher. Hello. I should like a Pop Tart, raspberry, please.
is she
this guy's
on,
eco.
Though?
This Emmanuel guy's an eco.
Yeah, he's eco. She's Philo G.
What?
Mm. Oh,
yeah.
Family to Philo. Yes.
That was an all Philo ticket right there.
Yeah, Sabretooth Philo. Actually, the first time I saw her.
She has scary, frightening eyes.
She is absolutely a, what I would call affectionately, one of those, like, Stepford Philos.
Yeah.
Yabba, dabba, do. Shoot the moose. Yabba, dabba, do. Smoke a doobie. Yabba, dabba, do. Open the meth lab. Yabba, dabba, do. I need a snowball.
Man.
Cook me a bola bear. Yabba dabba doo.
Oh,
where's the first dude? Fire up the sled.
Okay.
I do not think for myself, but I look good in this pantsuit. Oh, boy.
Wow.
I looked it up before.
That threw me up. That threw me for a loop right there. I would have definitely guessed she was Anto or Exo.
She does
have
a little bit of an Anto flavor, though. Her eyes are a little bit intense.
She's so phony. Everything she does
is phony.
But the thing is, but you can't be a breeder like that. There's no Anto breeders, okay, first of all. They don't make them. Like, those go back to the factory as defective.
True,
right? And the other thing is that there's not an Anto alive that would want to be a vice president on a philo-headed ticket. It would just be like, as you know, a chop, chop, chop all day long.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine Hillary as a vice president on Obama's ticket?
Not really.
I mean, it would have been like, you know, one day they're calling him a terrorist, the next day they're calling him this. You know, and she's going, you know, every day behind the scenes, she's doing these.
Testicle Tuesday.
And she's letting them have it.
My God.
Yeah.
Now, why is Obama surrounding himself with ecos? Does he like
I don't know.
Travel?
It's funny. I think he really is just trying to put a huge vat of weirdness between him and his wife.
Yeah.
He's
what
just,
is Michelle Obama?
He can call. She's out though as hell. She's Hillary. She's horrible. So, but that, I guess, you know, like I said, it's a matter of time. If we get to the midterm elections and there are not people wearing Michelle Obama masks with horns, I'll be surprised.
Uh-huh. Wow.
You know. And it's like she doesn't understand that she's not elected to office. She thinks that she's got a mandate. And the one I really like is actually the Philo, the little mousy Biden's wife.
You would. You
let
like
her talk. Oh, she's the MILF. She's the first MILF to me.
Uh-huh.
I bet.
I'm waiting for
right,
the calendar
guys.
To come out.
Well, I have to run.
All right. No, on that note.
Thanks, Gina.
That.
All right, go find the facts. We'll see you soon.
Behave, Gina.
All right, have fun, guys.
Thanks.
Bye.
Get up that hill. Now we're up in the big leagues. Guess not turn as fast. As long as we live, it's you and me, baby. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Forever moving on up.
That's right.
Nice touch. Here's the exclamation point for that.
You know who voted for it? Might never know. That one.
Oh, man.
This is so
is our
good.
Guest, is our guest here yet? Because I got one more.
That would be a no.
Okay, well then, do we have to play this then?
Okay.
Just looking out of the window. Thinking how it all looks every time. Yeah. Keeping your head above water. Making a way when you can. Temporary layoff. Good times. Good times is recorded on tape before a live audience. We got 'em. Good time. That's right, Winona.
Oh my. Winona.
I love that show.
Yeah.
I love that show. Bookman.
Buffalo butt.
You Buffalo.
Ask me anything about 70s TV. I am so there.
I was raised on it. Archie Bunker,
yeah.
The whole thing.
Yeah, well, we're the same age, pretty much. This is,
I'll be at my. Do you realize I spent half of my formative years being called a meathead?
I can't imagine who would call you that.
No.
Yes, we have not heard of the Desert Lion. He hasn't come out of his cave after the election.
Oh yeah.
He did send out a missive early this morning. That he would be playing golf left-handed for a couple of days just to balance things out. So. we're at a situation now where I guess what's going to happen next is he's got like 400 people. He's got a transition team. He's going to descend like the locusts to get this administration organized. And the Russians are already throwing rocks at us. The whole rest of the world is throwing a party, and the Russians are sitting there going, "We'll report the missiles on the border tomorrow.
Oh,
I need some vodka and a white woman."
Oh, jeez.
There's a challenge that Biden promised us.
He's something. Did you see pictures of him from when he was younger?
No.
He was
before or after the teeth?
Well, I don't know. I guess probably before. Mm. He was an interesting-looking guy.
Hey, look at this. We have on the phone with us now. We get the submarine going here. From an island that to be named later. we have EJ Winsing from Ecosphere.net. Welcome to Naked Soma.
Yeah, hi, Dr. Mark. Can you hear me?
I hear you. What island are you on there?
Where are you? On St. Tom.
Oh, he went north. He's Mr. Cold Miser.
Yeah, no, I'm in Canada today, but last week I was in St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands. I fly back and forth a lot.
Wow.
Yeah, this guy lives the extremes, from the ice in the drink to the ice on the windshield, back and forth. Well, I guess. You must have had a moment last night around 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time to do a little bit of a jig, no?
Yes.
With the result
there? I was very happy. We were very happy, yes. Yeah,
now, being in O Canada on that island there, I mean, what's the perception of the election from where you were viewing it last night? Were you guys heavily interested, one eye on that, one eye on a hockey game? What was it like?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you couldn't help but notice it on TV. It's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And people are very excited. It's, extremely, symbolic of change, and we're glad to see that. But a lot of people were excited today and happy, that it's gone the way it's gone.
Now, how does it affect, in terms of because there's been so much talk in the last 2 years even, ever since really... Michael Moore's movie Sicko, and even as far back as the Bowling for Columbine movie about gun control. About there's a perception in the progressive community that the Canadians live this idyllic life. You have the perfect healthcare system, and you have the perfect tolerance for guns, and there's no crime, and everybody's happy, and yet most Canadians I meet can't stand things up there, and they complain all the time. So you got your feet on the ground there. What is the reality that you can enlighten the Americanos here about life in Canuckland?
There's something to be said that I think 90% of the Canadian population lives within 100 miles of the American border. Most of our people live very close to the border with the U.S. So
mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people. It's a great country. It's secure. We're not. There's not too many of us. We have the same population, I think, as the state of California, and we have a great social system. But it's expensive. Our taxation rate is much higher.
Mm-hmm.
So there's pluses and minuses. Go ahead.
I'm just going backwards to when it was a lot about East-West in Canada. There was just a division. Between the French Canadian community and the Western Canadian community, even when I was, in the 80s when I was still playing hockey, you meet a guy from Medicine Hat and he was in one perception. You meet a guy from Quebec and it was like a different country. And
So I don't know. Is the culture that much? I mean, there's such a cultural divide in the United States on so many levels. We can divide anything in the United States. I mean, really.
Right.
But it seems in Canada that sort of went out the window a little bit. You don't hear much about that anymore here, anyway. Is that still pretty prominent?
Not really. You know, you can still find it if you look for it, but you have to look for it. It was very prominent for a while there, but I think it's pretty much subsided.
So you've already kind of settled. It seems like your culture wars are over with, and ours are just still kind of, bluffing along.
Yeah, that's right.
So let's get to what you've been up to, because I met you back in February in Wellesley University at the Winter Snowflake Conference, which is a bunch of misfits that meet once a year. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Complete misfits, dropouts. Yeah. Probably people that would hang out with domestic terrorists if we weren't hanging out with each other. Sort of academic rejects that have all, long since given up on never having any kind of, a seat at the table. So we gather in a small room once a year and bounce ideas off each other. And here comes, poor EJ, these are going to be scholars, and of course that's when I revealed my Fitzy YouTube video.
Oh God, that's right.
which I think still has that economist guy Bill is still probably mad at me about that. But he came up with a concept that and I've heard a lot of talk in the last 10 years about sustainable energy and renewable energy and green jobs, and it always is the same. Big Fish, Al Gore, the Save the Polar Bear kind of thing. And it always sort of just sailed over my head that's something I can't ever touch. You can raise money for it, things like that, and work very, very distant star to your sidewalk kind of a thing. But EJ's concept was completely reversed, and it starts with, and this is where you come in, Val, the Maslow hierarchy of needs that screwed everybody up in the 60s with the hippies.
Abraham.
Why don't we start with that? Because self-actualization is something that is near and dear to the woos in the audience here. We talk a lot about physiology on the show, breathing rhythms, movement patterns, things like that, things that communicate without communicating, so to speak, these sort of natural rhythms. Mm-hmm. And you just discuss safety, that's the next level. And then you have the belonging, the philo level of belonging and bonding and having relationships. And then you have the part where you end up on the couch, on Val's couch, where you're dealing with esteem issues and confidence and no one respects me and the whole Rodney Dangerfield thing. And then finally, you get to the filet mignon of experience, the self-actualization thing, where you have your morality, your creativity, all your stuff, and you're not prejudicing, you're transcendent, and you're post-racial, and you're post-this and post-that. But nobody ever gets there because they spend their entire life in the first three. And then they give them drugs for the fourth one, and by the time they get to the fifth one, they're just waiting for the bartender or the mortician.
That's right.
So EJ's concept is to flip the triangle over on its points and to begin with self-actualized people and work their way up through the physiology and out. So this is a complete reversal of Maslow's hierarchy. How did you deduce that from your milieu as you were searching for how to organize the sustainability issue, and then once you figured it out, how did you sell it to any psychologist or academic that's been preaching this for 40 years?
Well, I don't know. I just thought of it. It just made sense to me based on my own life experience, and from there I haven't sold it to every psychologist yet. that's what I'm doing now, but it's primarily flipping it over on its head and teaching, for example, just teaching our children, our young people, the skills needed to be less hooked into the social streams. Have some more self-identity. We're so engaged in what the Joneses are up to, our neighbors are up to, that we're losing a little bit of ourselves. And so, for example, for the young people, we can maybe teach them to give the tools to self-actualize more. Maybe not as much when they're young, but as they get older, to become less dependent on society and much more self-sustainable, so like you know, not be caught up with what everybody else is doing, like buying the SUVs and, you know, getting the materialism, getting into the materialism, I have to draw them back from that a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the conditioning is completely outside in. We talk about that a lot, and we differentiate between your biological and your social identity, and this feedback loop, and what you're really getting at here is the Philo agenda, which is to belong to a group and be accepted. Whether
right.
that group is you know, propagated from family or religion or even just where you grow up, or are you city folk, are you country bumpkin, you know, that kind of stuff. And they group
right.
you, and this mindset of being part of the group, of course, then feeds the eco vibe of being part of a tribe and having a
right.
subculture to with which to escape the oppressors, the Antos. So you have this sort of cyclical nature where the kinesthetic soma, the one that's more interested in the physical touch, the bonding that the Philo wants to feel safe, which is one of those needs, and then you have
right.
the other one, which is the eco, which is more to have the intimacy, the internal intimacy, the sexual connection, so that you feel that tribal sense of connection to people anywhere, where, like, you know, you see it a lot with sports, where you could have a completely different background. You could have a skinhead literally next to a Jewish man at a Giant game, and they're both rooting for the same team. They're both Giant fans. So how do you clump that together with the notion of having an internal sense of who you are, independent of all that, and be able to move through all the other barriers? Because the self-actualized person doesn't play in those dichotomies, doesn't play in those this or that worlds anymore. Already overcome them and is moving on. How do you get people to just kind of like reverse engineer this?
Well, it's yeah, reverse engineering is a good way of saying it. I think you don't try to disconnections completely or your connection completely. You bring them back. You know, it's not about getting rid of where you belong. It's more finding a balance. And so you need a counter. You need something to pull yourself into, and that's why, you know, the second part of this book is not about just becoming sustainability as an identity, you know, self-identity, but it's about grounding that self in your own body, in, you know, using your body as a grounding point for the counterbalance, you know, for everything that you belong in society.
Mm-hmm. And again, this is one of those things. Let's define sustainability for the listeners so they understand, because most people think of it as like separating their garbage.
It's
got a very kind of bland definition. So your way of defining it is a little more, let's just say, dynamical, if we can use a Fred Abraham word.
Yeah, it's, you know, that's right. I think I take a little bit of a different view on sustainability than most people. I certainly agree that is, you know, about recycling and being environmentally friendly. But sustainability, I hook it into survival. And we're all trying to be sustainable. And ready, you know, we're trying to sustain our own identity, and we do that, in my opinion, by trying to belong to social groups we value. And you know, what I'm going to do is trying to get people to bring them back to themselves a little bit, and define sustainability, you know, healthy sustainability and healthy attitudes and behaviors of sustainability as it relates to their body, and ground it in their body.
Yeah, you talk about,
from there.
You know, let's say politics is local, and you're personifying that because you're getting into the I am part of it, the identity part, as sort of a kind of a base ecology, and then the we are, the community part, is an extension of that. So what you're looking at here is, instead of a separation, and you corrected me at the snowflake thing, where, you know, the Thoreau statement of he looks out the window and he sees the snow and he goes, I'm snowing. You would correct that and say, I'm snow. You know, it was like, you know, or, you know, it's in me. So there's an inclusion or a lack of a barrier between the individual and the environment. There's an extension of the individual into the environment, but you're owning that person. You're owning that physical person more, and that makes you, again, that does get back to the survival thing, because that's where that stuff lives. It lives down in the physiology. It lives down in the need to survive and adapt. And, of course, to create a healthy environment, that gets into your fuzzy little biosemiotic stuff, actually, with that Ouroboros thing. Yes, I know where he's going.
The book was really, you know, the intention of the book is to create a starting point for a conversation. And it's definitely not definitive. You know, it's not a... you know, it's just something to put out there, my ideas, and here they are. Let's talk about them. You know, let's take them and work them through and see where we can go with them.
Yeah, it's a great book. I Am Sustainability is a book that basically you can read on a 2-hour plane flight, get the concepts, get the basic ideas.
Yeah.
After you've you know, poisoned the air in your plane, and exactly. And then once you had a little time to digest it, like I found the kind of it, you start to look at the word matter, for example. Like one of the things I'm still toying and tooling with my review for your Amazon book, it's gotten eaten twice on Amazon for some reason, is that, you know, the concept of matter as a mental concept is something that's important to me. As a physical construct, it's something that's physical and manifest, you know, and external to me. But when I start thinking about the relationship between matter and meaning and movement, now I have sustainability, now I have a dynamic thing. Then I'm off to the races, and now I'm starting to think about living systems and how things are interlocking. And then you get into the ecosphere. So why don't you tell us how you evolved from the I Am Sustainability concept to the We Are Sustainability, the community one, all the way up to this concept of an ecosphere. How do people move through that hierarchy, that fractal of ideas, where you start off with saying, okay, here I am, I'm a physical being in an environment.
Right.
And now I have to join social groups to survive, but I have to continue to maintain the fact that I'm an individual here, and I get to make decisions based on that. And then once I understand how to network those two things together, now I create an environment around me called this ecosphere. So how do people move through that that graduated awareness?
Well, what's
an ecosphere? What does ecosphere.net do for people?
They're going to learn about how to participate in this conversation, and in the conversation that leads to actions towards global sustainability. My part of that is, I mean, we all bring different things to the table, but my part of that is the psychological approach that links sustainability to human survival, and tries to draw people back from finding their identity completely within society, draw them back into finding it only partially and balancing, and they may actually end up disconnecting from their social groups when they realize how unhealthy they are, not only to themselves but to the environment, and they may restructure or make new connections with new groups, and perhaps Ecosphere Net will be one of those groups. So basically, we're building that kind of group to actually define, you know, what the ecosphere is, and that's why it's also important to engage as many people as possible, because from different cultures, people will look at it, you know, with different perspectives. So I don't know.
So maybe it's a basis of comparison for people, because we're kind of blue skying, if you will, here in people's heads. If you look at Al Gore's movement, worldwide movement, heavily funded, you know, all kinds of money coming in from all governments and things like that. He's giving them the carrot, and he's giving them the carrot and the stick, and he's going around basically using the politics of fear, you know, that the planet's dying and all that stuff. And then you better get green, or you're gonna get, or it's gonna get mean, that kind of a thing. And you're saying, go the other direction, go towards self-actualization. Don't scare them. Give them something that they can hope for, something that they can change within themselves, and use that awareness as the light against all this misinformation and oppression. Right. And then so all of a sudden, healthy individual creates healthy relationships, creates healthy communities, and then all the way up to a healthy planet.
Yeah, creates a healthy world, and basically that's what we need to do, because we need to create connections with other cultures. We need to have conversations with people that we wouldn't normally conversations about sustainability. What it means to somebody in Pakistan or somebody in Beijing, and we need to do that because there's going to be 9 billion of us here soon. So we need to start to become comfortable with each other, and you know, we can do all the environmental things we want. We can buy all the hybrid cars we want, but that, you know, that's only 20% of the planet's population. In the next 30 years or so, we're going to have 3 more billion people, and most of those billions of people will be in, you know, 80% of the world that can't afford hybrid cars. You know, so you know, the efforts of the 20% are going to be outdone by the non-effort or the non-engagement of the 80%. And so that's what EcosphereNet is part of what we're doing, is we're creating an establishing not only an online community, but actually a network community where we meet each other at places, what we call sustainability education centers and events around the planet, where we can collaborate and discuss what sustainability means.
Now, step one would be to read the book, right? Someone's going to get start tonight.
Yes. Yeah. The first book is called "I Am Sustain." Yeah, and the next book, which I'm hoping to write next summer, will be "We Are Sustainability," and that will show how you can transfer from "I am." First you gain yourself, and then you're able to engage the "we," the collective, in my opinion, in a healthier manner.
Mm-hmm. Now, what would be kind of like the person's? I'm looking for milestones on those paths, because Val talks about a lot in therapy that it's perpetual, and that it's actually indoctrinated into the therapist to keep them a little sick.
Yeah,
which is another little thing.
Nauseated me.
Which what was the actual statement that the guy told you? Like, always keep them a little screwed up, just so they keep coming back, or something like that.
He says just keep them just a little bit sick, a little bit off balance, so that you don't lose them as a client. Are you kidding me?
Talking about sustainability. Yeah, well, when you have a pathologically based intervention instead of a salutogenic based one, which is about freeing people up rather than trying to fix them, that's what you get. So here you are in your situation. You know, what would be the marker? Because we use coherence in our work. You know, looking at the heart rate variability, things like that, and performance data. Mostly on a gross physical level, low-tech level. If I could breathe and I could move, I could probably feel okay. What would be your markers? Because you are kind of starting with the abstract stuff, the self-action. What behaviors would they look for personally to know that they're moving through from, say they're getting self-actualized in their self, and then moving to the next step, which is when they would start to actually move that out into their relationship. So what would be the personal sign that, hey, I'm getting self-actualized? They don't get ticked off by these things anymore. They're not as invested in it. The soft addictions go away. What would be like the first sign that they're doing okay with this stuff?
Right. There's different. I this is again is a matter of discussion that we can look at assessment. And you can probably have a there's different psychometrics out there. You know, there's the connectedness to nature scale. You know, how connected a person feels to nature. Can take a multiple choice exam and come up with a number that puts you on a scale. I think you're implying is you can just look at your own personal behavior. It's a difficult thing, I think, in psychotherapy in general. Obviously there's some examples of unhealthy behavior. But as far as sustainability goes, you'll choose not to buy the SUV because it's wrong, but because it just doesn't reflect who you are anymore. It doesn't mirror anything. You don't have a need to prove yourself with that SUV to your neighbor. That will become ridiculous in a sense. You won't look at it that way anymore.
Yeah, because my way of kind of describing it to the incoming SAPE is that you're getting closer to the prize when you're making more progress with less effort.
Right.
It's sort of an old principle of nonlinear dynamics that as the system gets more complex, it gets more efficient, and it becomes more self-organizing in a way. And when it's hit with something novel, something new, instead of crumbling down to a fixed point and starting over again, it has tensegrity and it can bounce back and it can recover. And a perfect example would be the Barack Obama campaign, which was hit with I don't know how many rocks along the way, and it seemed to get strengthened by it. The more they did it, the more resilient he became, and maybe this is going to be a harbinger.
Because it's almost like he was going through a self-actualization process.
It was something that
he was reifying who he was.
Mm-hmm. He was living the I Am Sustainability book going through the campaign. Talk about getting dressed in Macy's window. Yeah. And it actually happened a lot in Hillary's primary effort, that she said that she found her voice through the campaign, because, her entire agenda for years was so just shrill. She was just
always anti everything, and it was like, well, what are you for? And that's the first thing I tell people sometimes. It's like, you know, pathology teaches you what's against you, what's inevitable, what's trying to get you, what are your strengths? If you don't know what your strengths are, we talk about signatures in our work, then you can't really develop anything. All you can do is protect the weak spots. And that shift in Hillary from going, you know, total onto, you know, coming at you like with knives and guns, and you're wrong, wrong, wrong. It's like, well, she had to listen at a certain point in the campaign because she was losing. And that humility and that humbleness of going through that made her find her voice. And all of a sudden she became, you know, she's doing shots with Teamsters, and she was totally opening up. She made a big rally at the end there. And I bet McCain and Hillary both feel like, and this is the principle of entrainment, the we are sustainability, because that's the next step in your work, is what Obama's now saying to people that voted for or against him, that now I have to listen to both voices, the people that are dissenters and the people that are agreeing with me, because I'm president of both of you. So rather than excluding the ones that didn't vote and polarizing, he's including them and saying, you're the check and balance on me, which is a good wave. And ultimately, even if he is successful or not, he's teaching us how to not basically break the thing down every couple of years. We were talking about Nader's concepts a couple times on the show the last month or so, where Nader intellectually is correct but practically doesn't have a path. And so it's one of those things where if you live in your head, sometimes you die in your head, which is a lot of the problems with the shrinks. You know, they don't get their body involved, which is why, you know, when you see you know, Fitzy on the YouTube, you get a little nuts. Oh, my God, I have to protect the women. The dude almost jumped in front of people like it was a grenade went off. I don't know. So going forward now, are you going to be doing more online work, or are there going to be conferences around the world? What's going to be the way this animal moves?
The animal will move with conferences, and mm-hmm. we're just building a network.
Okay.
We're making more and more connections. I'm also bringing this into the corporate world. We're beginning to do some work with corporate social responsibility. So we're sort of moving in two directions with it. One is with the corporate culture, and the other one is with the learning culture. And,
well, let us know when you get into the corporate world. We've been sitting on their grass for about 6 years now, and they just go, anytime you want to mow it, fine, but you ain't coming in here, you hippie bastards.
I was back in September. I was in Hong Kong. I was invited to be part of a meeting of directors of a multinational chemical company, and they're very. This particular group is very, very slow in incorporating anything to do with environment and sustainability within their their project statements or their future, you know, their future statements, whatever they call it. But I'm still in contact with them, and I send them emails, and I'm trying to prod them on along, you know, a little bit, myself and one other person, and we'll see where it goes. You know.
Yeah, it's a tough thing because again, you got to get them to understand that not that they're wrong, it's one of the the biggest issues that you face with this kind of stuff. When you come up with a new idea, everybody else feels stupid around you, and then they get insulted because you made them feel stupid. I mean, when I first came in, I got a chance to talk to Kevin Dooley yesterday, one of the former presidents of the Society of Chaos Theory and Life Sciences and Psychology and all that fun stuff, and he got into politics almost as an accident because he could not get the chaos guys, these academics, or up to the fact that they didn't know something, and it's like that Quint Hooper conversation, you know? You know, you college boys, you know, you're not smart enough to admit when you're wrong, you know, so it's like, he went into politics because he could take his text analysis and break down speeches and look at keywords and create these little neural nets, and hey, that's useful to track other people's things and stuff, and he ended up developing this thing on the Wonkosphere that became the most popular blog-watching thing on the web. So, it your stuff. Here you are teaching something that's about self-actualization, real heady, real Big Sur, real California kind of Zen stuff. But the practical application of it is be nice to people, you know. And it's it's the humanitarian side. So do you see yourself, you know, knocking on doors of like Amnesty International and and like the pet rescue types, and do you see yourself doing like the bird sanctuary people and the save the planet kind of types, or do you see yourself working more with advocacy groups and like we just went through with the autism types of people? Where do you see your hook into the corporate world other than these companies that have obviously seen the light and has shifted more to a green-based culture within the organizations? Do you see yourself going more for the people-based groups or the more the traditional, industrial-type groups?
I think, right now it looks like the industrial-type groups. I think that's where it's happening right now for us, albeit very slowly. But there is, I'm keep knocking on their door and I keep putting proposals out to them. It's been a couple months and they are interested. They do want to do it. They just don't know how to do it. And I'm looking to help them with implementation of and they're actually a part of a supply chain for a much larger group of people, companies. This could be very huge, and it'd be very global, very quickly, for EcoSphereNet, and working with this particular corporation. So.
Well, one of the groups that, if you want to get into the sciencey side of it, is this. I'm just queuing it up now. It's the ISQOL. It's a quality of life organization that I kind of. Poked my nose in the door when they did something down in Philadelphia a couple of years ago, and they're very they're very slick at the way that they get this quality of life concept across almost any barrier. Right. And I'll send you the link for them. It's Society for Quality of Life Research, and basically their whole thing is it's these measurements you're talking about. They've got all that down to a fine science here. So their conference is actually it just happened. They just had it down in New Orleans last weekend. So they just had their annual conference last weekend. But they're based where are they based? Let's find out. All over the place. Virginia. So this side of the pond, so to speak. So I'll get you in touch with them because I think a lot of the stuff that you're doing has conceptual receptivity, but then the practical part, it's almost like what happens to Nader. He's got a great idea, very intellectually correct, very detailed, but how do you implement it? How do you take that awareness, that novel information, that amount of potent energy into a very rusty pipe that we're dealing with here called the system, and make the system, take its medicine, so to speak, and be able to raise these people up? We had David Goodman on last night talking about the propagation of fructose in the diet, causing being the number one cause of Alzheimer's, and you think about developmentally what that's done to people. So there's a lot of, like I said, it's a big elephant. We all got a couple hands on it, but that elephant's moving and it's big and heavy, and it'll stomp you out if you don't have the way to kind of almost negotiate both sides of this, the practical and also the idea side. So you have a great idea, and anything we can do to help you out here on the show or link to E-List, whatever you want. We're very much supportive of it because it is Somatics 101 for anybody out there.
Okay.
And when are you going back to the beach?
Probably I think I'm next week, end of next week, so Thursday.
All right.
Yes.
Yeah, all right. Toes in the sand. He sends me an email mocking me. What chair do I want on the beach next to him when it was freezing? mocking me as a Philo Ken. So, all right, well, I guess you're going to be in Tampa in February when we go see Bob?
Yes, I'll be there, for sure.
We're pretty close? All right, well, I'll wander down somehow on the Orient Express or whatever I do to get there. And we'll continue this conversation because I think we have a lot to do both in the sky, on the ground, and in kitchen tables to be named later. So, thanks for joining us tonight. And one more thing. If you could take your book cover to cover, and I've read it cover to cover, upside down and backwards, what is the one thing that falls out of that book onto the floor that people may not get at first glance that you'd like to clear up for them? What's the one thing that kind of, reading between the lines, what's the one message you'd like to impress upon them that maybe is not fully expressed in the words on the page? Is it a little theme behind the theme there that you want to just share?
Just for them to participate, to take action.
Yeah.
You know, that I think what you said earlier is very true, that, you know, watching Al Gore and these other initiatives, you know, it can be very intimidating. And so it seems such a huge, like a huge, huge problem. And you know, what's their part in it? And I think they do, certainly everybody has a part. And as many people should take part in this project and just, you know, take action, participate in one form or another, you know, towards sustainability. If they see my website and they're interested in what we're up to, they're welcome. Everybody's welcome to join us. That's the idea. You know, we're creating a global network of people involved in this particular project. So.
All right. Well, there you go. Hearts beat, move the feet, and get yourself over to ecosphere.net. Read the book and start actualizing. Because you know what?
That's it.
It's better than the alternative: fructose and a rotten brain. There you go. All right, man, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for joining us here on Naked Soma.
Thanks.
My pleasure. Thank you very much. Okay,
see you. Bye. Oh, he's a nice one.
Yeah, Sif Philo from...
Yes, he's quite
Canadian,
Philo.
The Canadian Philo. I don't know if you can get more docile than that and still be on Earth.
Very, very peaceful guy.
Mm. So as a little theme, a little homage to him, we'll play this in case you're going to visit the islands. I really wasn't fucking. I just, you know, I don't know anymore. What goes on?
Of course you
don't. The mate was a mighty sailing man, skipper brave and sure. Five passengers set sail that day for a 3-hour tour. A 3-hour tour. For the courage of the fearless crew, the medal would be lost. The medal would be lost. The ship that ground on the shore of this uncharted desert isle, with Gilligan, the skipper too, the millionaire who won, the movie star, and the rest are here.
No,
see,
no,
that was a cheaper version.
That was the first season. No, that was the first season. They didn't know. Yeah.
I know. They had the professor. They had
Professor and Marianne. No, first season. They don't.
No.
No, they didn't get that.
They didn't know how popular Marianne was going to be. They figured the other one was going to be the way to go. But no, we like the Philo.
Everyone likes Marianne because she's cannibal.
Yeah. Yeah, the other one is too Marilyn Monroe-ish.
Well, she was eco, and you know, she's like Madame Yes.
Except she was usually Madame No.
Exactly. You're stupid. Good lookings. Poor Gilligan, man.
Gilligan.
All those years on the island with blue balls.
There's a picture of him hanging up in the deli up here. He used to go into the deli all the time.
Oh, he lived up there?
I don't know. He must have been visiting because his picture is up there. Oh, that's nice.
And then once he was rescued, he said this.
But I want to say one thing to the American people. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Ms. Lewinsky.
Ginger.
I can't say as much for the skipper. Those two are kind of close.
Yep, little buddy.
That's right, little buddy. There's a name you don't want to live up to.
Yeah, well. Oh, man.
Wait, I got to end it with this today. Hold on. Oh, that's good.
All right, so next week is your birthday.
Yes, actually.
And so.
So this is how I'm celebrating my birthday, huh?
We're going to send you out with a little Funkophilia. I don't know what we're doing next Wednesday, but we're having fun. And then we're going to change this show radically. We'll be doing it on our hands the following week. And then an orifice to be laid later the week after that. But stay tuned. SomaSpace.org is evolving.
Yes, it is.
Here we go.
Wow.
I'm dancing.
Knock a little louder.
So, travel light. Make sure you check floxoma.net for any changes.
Right.
And if you listened to last night's show, please email my mother. She likes to know I'm busy. Travel light, folks.
God.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Dance!